Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Notice who hath, that is the Father hath, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. So we set out to talk about things that belong to us. If they belong to us, they're ours. All we have to do is just accept it, receive it, and claim it. Colossians, the first chapter, the 13th and 14th verses. Who hath delivered us, again, the who refers to the Father. Some translations read that way, the Father hath delivered us. Paul here is writing to the church at Colossae. It belongs to the church in Tulsa, or wherever you are, or wherever you're from. It belongs to believers, Christians, everywhere. He wrote this letter to the church at Colossae, and whatever belongs to the church at Colossae belongs to the church today. Hallelujah. And so he said, the Father hath. He's telling the church that the Father has. We would say today in modern usage, has delivered us. Well, if you know he delivered you, but you don't know what he delivered you from, you're still left in an unhappy dilemma. Because Satan can take advantage of you and what you don't know. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now that's clear enough, isn't it? No uncertain terms, he tells us exactly what we're delivered from. Darkness refers to the kingdom of Satan. It refers, and in that word darkness is everything that sin and Satan and sickness and disease and everything else that is of the devil. Everything is in that word darkness. But he has delivered us from the power or from the authority of darkness. Now I think that's the 13th verse. It would be interesting to notice this 12th verse of that same opening, the first chapter of Colossians, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. That's a little bit blind to us. We don't use that word meet, M-E-E-T, like that today. Another translation said, which has made us able. Some people say, I'm not able. The Bible said, God's made you able. So either you or God, one's told a lie. I believe he told the truth. He's made you able to do what? To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I want you to notice that word light. And then the next verse, the word darkness. Thank God, here is something that we should give thanks unto the Father for, he said, because he's made us able. Everybody say, I'm able.
I'm able.
Thank God. Able to do what? To be a partaker of the inheritance. See, we're partakers of our inheritance. That is a part of it. We don't reap all of it in this life. But thank God, this belongs to us now in this life. Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath, that is the Father hath, delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In whom, 14th verse, in whom we have redemption. Or another translation adds the word our there. I like that because it is our redemption. It belongs to us. In whom we have our redemption through his blood. Hallelujah. Now then notice, he hath delivered us. He's going to, in the sweet by and by, when we all get to heaven. No, right here in this life, he has delivered us. Say it again, I am delivered.
I am delivered.
But now what did he deliver us from? From the authority, from the power or the authority. Look this word. You see, you read the word power in King James translation all through there, but it isn't always translated from the same Greek word. You'll find out that this particular word also means authority. He's translated us or delivered us from the authority of darkness. Well, isn't the authority of darkness the authority of Satan's kingdom and the authority of Satan himself? Satan doesn't have any authority over us. Amen. But it's just the other way around. We've got authority over him. Amen. Because of Jesus, because of the blood. Amen. Now look at Romans 6:14 real quick, and you can understand that and see it in a new light. I want you to notice that it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. And now I think if for just a second you could go back there to Colossians and you could read that he's delivered us from the dominion of darkness. And that would be exactly what he's saying. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. So here he said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Now why can't sin have dominion over you? Because we're not under the law. Thank God we're under grace. Amen. And we might add, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If anything has dominion over you, then it dominates you, it rules you. But thank God we have been delivered from the authority of darkness. Now, in that word sin here, it would not do an injustice to this verse to read it like this. For Satan shall not have dominion over you. For Satan shall not have dominion over you. If sin can't have dominion over you, Satan can't have dominion over you. Among those things that belongs to us, healing belongs to us. I mean, whether we ever have it or not, it still belongs to us. You know, a lot of things in the natural belongs to people that never take advantage of. They should. You can't say it don't belong to them just because they don't take advantage of it. Do you ever stop thinking about the voting right belongs to all adults? But you can see that the majority of Americans never take advantage of it. Amen. But does it not belong to them just because they're not enjoying it? No, it's just as much theirs as it is ours. And so it is with healing. Many folks may not know that it's theirs. And so you can't take advantage of something that you don't know is yours. Amen. And then other folks, you know, they've heard so many other things preached besides the truth. You know, after all, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but hearing what? The word of God. The facts of God's word. Faith is built on facts. The facts of God's word. Faith is founded on facts, but unbelief is built on theories. And our problem is we have so much theoretical preaching. Well, this is my opinion. This is the way I've got that figured out. Here's what I think about that. What do you think about this? I remember one full gospel minister one time. Brother Hagin said, what do you think about this? And he mentioned a certain thing. And I said, I don't have any thoughts on it. Oh, come on now. I know you do. I said, no, I don't. I don't have any thoughts at all. I just simply believe what the Bible said and begin to quote the scriptures. And that full gospel, tongue-talking, Pentecostal minister didn't pay any more attention to the word than anything in the world. And that's what robs people. Because I just got through time and said, I just believe what that says. That's what the word said. Oh, come on now. He said, I know you're bound to have some opinion on this. No, I said, I don't have any opinion on it. I just believe what the Bible said. And then I quoted him another section of scripture. From another place that corroborated what the first section of scripture said. Oh, come on. He didn't pay attention to it. Oh, come on now. Now, what's your opinion? I know you're bound to have an opinion on it. I said, I don't have any opinion on it. I have no thoughts on it whatsoever. I only accept God's thoughts. The word of God is God's thoughts. And I said, and I quoted him another section of scripture from yet another reference. I said, you see, all three, you remember I said, you're a minister. You're a preacher. The Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And I've given you three different sections, not just some isolated text or a part of a verse somewhere, but a section of scripture. I've given you three different references from different sections of scripture. And I said, you heard it, and that's exactly what I believe. And you know what that full gospel preacher said to me? Well, he said, I won't have it that way. See, what he is trying to do is get me to side in with some kind of an opinion he had. He said, I won't have it that way. I said, it's that way whether you have it or whether you don't have it. I mean, you don't have anything to do with it except accept it or reject it. And what you're doing is rejecting God's word. Yeah, but now let me tell you what I think. I said, I'm not interested in what you think. To tell you the real truth about it, I said, what you think about it's not worth a dime, not worth a crying dime. I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to waste my time. And you know, he got all upset at me. No use him to get upset at me. I didn't write the Bible. I just believe it. I just believe it. Can you say amen? And so he hath delivered us. We saw that from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, from Matthew, the 8th chapter, and the 17th verse, and 1 Peter 2, 24, three different witnesses. And so healing belongs to us. Well, then, we know this, that sickness is of Satan. It's not of God. It doesn't come from heaven. Isn't any up there? And so to tell you the real truth about it, when you know the truth, that's the reason I'm trying to get you to see what belongs to you. Sickness can't have dominion over you or lord it over you. Now notice, go back to Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. Another translation said, sin shall not lord it over you. Well, Satan shall not lord it over you. Now why? Because he's not your Lord. Jesus is your Lord. Amen. Don't you remember Romans? Amen. To be saved, Romans the 10th chapter, the 9th and 10th verses, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. The margin of the King James said, confess Jesus as Lord. That is, you're confessing him as your Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you do that, you'll be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus is your Lord, not Satan. Well, then if Jesus is your Lord, not Satan, then Jesus is the one that has dominion over you. Amen. Because he's your Lord. Amen. And as the word has dominion over us, so Jesus has dominion over us. Amen. So if you want to know what God says about things, find out what the word says and let the word dominate you. And if you'll let this written word dominate you and have dominion in your life, then your Jesus is dominating you and he's having dominion in your life. So then, Satan shall not lord it over you. Sin shall not lord it over you. Then anything else that is of the enemy and of the kingdom of darkness shall not lord it over you. Dominate you, lord it over you. Sickness cannot lord it over you. Now sickness lords it over many of God's dear saints, precious people. But you see, so many times they don't really see what belongs to them. They don't understand what's theirs. They keep trying to get what already belongs to them. They think, I've got to get it myself. No, Jesus already got it for you. All you have to do is accept it and receive it. Just receive what he's already got. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen?
Amen.
Now I'm going to keep preaching that.
Amen.
And I'm going to keep at it. I'm going to keep at it. Because it's truth, praise God.
Amen.
Now, don't you misunderstand me at all. We don't want to leave the wrong impression. Thank God for medical science. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for good Christian doctors who know how to pray as well as treat you. Amen, and help you. Amen?
Amen.
And if people need help, they should go get help. And I help people all the time. Here a while back, I bought one fellow $100 worth of medicine. So, you know, if I was opposed to medicine, I wouldn't have bought him any medicine, would you? You know, I'm opposed to people drinking, so I won't buy anybody any whiskey. I'm opposed to people smoking cigarettes, so I won't buy them any cigarettes. Amen? I'm opposed to people, you know, using drugs. I'm talking about getting off on that. I'm not talking about prescription. Amen? So I won't furnish any money for that. But this poor fellow needed help. And so I said $100. I don't like to exaggerate it. Really, it was $99.93. That is almost 100, ain't it? I mean, that's closer to 100, but I don't want to exaggerate, not even 7 cents worth. I bought him $99.93 worth of medicine. So you know I'm not opposed to medicine. If I needed an aspirin, I'd take one. But the last headache I had was 1933. Well, it's too late to start having headaches now. Amen. Now, don't you misunderstand me at all. Don't get the wrong impression. I passed up some marvelous opportunities to have headaches. Now, not often. Oh, I suppose every 5 to 7 years, something like that. Just once in a great while, not very often. Suddenly, you know, there's a pain or something, you know. I pulled out of the parking lot here one night. Well, as you know, it was in the wintertime. It gets dark early, and I'd stayed late and pulled off here to the corner. Just about the time I got to the corner, boy, suddenly my head started hurting. I just said, no, you don't. You can't lord over me. You got to leave. And it left immediately. I mean, it left immediately. It didn't last 2 seconds. Praise God. No, we make a mistake accepting a lot of these things to begin with. Sickness shall not have dominion over you. Don't you let it dominate you. It doesn't have any right to. I'm talking about things that belongs to us. Amen. Bad habits cannot lord it over you. Amen. Because Jesus delivered you. He had delivered us from the authority of darkness, power of darkness, dominion of darkness, and has translated us. Translate means take out of one, put in the other. Translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Thank God I'm over in the kingdom now. People talk about, you know, the kingdom now. Well, there's some truth to that, but then some folks have got off on a tangent that's wrong. We're going to take over everything in this world now. No, we're not going to take over everything in this world. What are you going to do about the scripture that talks about in the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived? You see, there's another side to the story. No, thank God in this present evil world, I can live in this kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you listening to me? But you see, they want to interpret that naturally. And they're going to take over the world. No, they're not going to take over the world. Are you listening to me? Amen. Certainly they're not. But I'll tell you one thing about it. We're going to take everybody that'll listen to us and bring them into the kingdom of God now and let them enjoy the blessings of God that belongs to them. Hallelujah. And break the bondage of the devil over them. Well, it's all because of the blood in whom we have redemption, deliverance through the blood. Hallelujah. Now, did you ever stop to think about it? We don't have to try to believe that God will give us the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something from the Bible. I remember I, as a young Baptist, and when I talk about the Holy Ghost, I know if you're born again, you have the witness of the Holy Ghost in you, that you're a child of God, but I'm talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there comes one after me, mightier than I, whose shoes latch it. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloose. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. He, the one that's coming after me, is Jesus, will baptize you. Well, now you see, folks will take scripture out of its setting. You go over to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians and the 13th verse and said, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. And they said, that's what he is talking about. No, that wasn't what he's talking about. You see, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit baptizes you or immerses you or puts you into the body of Christ. You see, baptize means to immerse or to put into. So when you're born again, the Holy Spirit baptizes you, immerses you, or puts you into the body of Christ. And then man baptizes you in water as an outward evidence of an inward grace. But then Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Jesus said to the disciples, you remember, in Luke 24:49, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. There is an experience subsequent to salvation called an endowment of power from on high, or baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Now, you see, the Holy Ghost was not yet given. That's the reason he told them to tarry. Tarry means wait. Wait in Jerusalem. It was necessary that they wait. It was necessary that they wait in Jerusalem. That's not a formula for being filled with the Holy Ghost. For if it was, everybody would have to go to Jerusalem to get it. No, they had to wait. Now, why did they have to wait? Because the day of Pentecost hadn't come yet. Now, turn to Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost is fully come, they went in one court in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared cloven tongues like as a fire and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now notice this. The Holy Ghost could not be poured out. In other words, he couldn't come till the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as a rushing mighty wind. Now, you don't ever see that happening again. You see people receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues again in the Acts, but you don't ever read anything about a rushing mighty wind. Now, why? Because, you see, that was the Holy Ghost coming, and he's here now.
Yes.
And he's been here ever since then.
Amen.
I said he's been here ever since then.
Amen.
And so then, after the day of Pentecost, it's just a matter of receiving, because he's here. He's here. I remember, as a young Baptist boy pastor and preacher, I remember I came around the Pentecostal folks because they believed in divine healing. And I'd been healed and raised up from the deathbed. And so I would come around them to receive fellowship around faith and healing because it strengthened my faith. But they preached this baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, and endowment of power upon high. I sort of closed my ears to that. I said to myself, well, I believe in the Holy Ghost, all right. But, I thought, because we were taught that if you're born again, you're born of the Spirit, and that is true. And if you're born of the Spirit, then you have the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, that's the end of it, period. But you see, it's one thing to be born of the Spirit and another thing to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so, I sort of closed my ears to that. And to tell you the real truth about it, I was, in the fall of the year, going to enroll in Baptist Seminary. But walking down the street in my hometown, I said to, on the 8th day of April, 1937, which was on a Thursday, you remember? And I said, Lord, who's right about this? Who's right about this Holy Ghost business? And I began to tell him what my church said. And then even ministers in my own church disagreed. One Baptist pastor out of Dallas said, there is an experience subsequent to salvation called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's an endowment of power from on high. But you don't have to speak with tongues. You just claim it by faith and go out to witness and you got it. But then a Baptist professor in Baylor University said, an older man, to all the graduating class, he said, there is an experience called a baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's an endowment of power from on high, and don't you dare go out and preach without it. And that's about all he dare say about it. And then I said, Lord, what are these Pentecostal folks? Now, they say, you're filled with the Spirit and speak with tongue. But you know, the Holy Ghost will always take you right back to the Word. And he just simply asked me on the inside of me, because I'm born of the Spirit and he's in my spirit. On the inside of me, the Holy Ghost or Jesus through the Spirit said to me, what does Acts 2.38 said? Well, I said, Acts 2.38 said, Peter preaching to him on the day of Pentecost, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I said to the Lord, I believe in the Holy Ghost. It's this tongues business I don't know about. He said, what did the 39th verse say? Because, see, I could quote two-thirds of the New Testament. So I said, and he knew I knew it. I said, well, Acts 2.39 said, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then I said again, I believe in the Holy Ghost, all right. It's this tongue business. And then he said to me, what was that they received on the day of Pentecost? What does Acts 2.4 say? I said, why, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to say, oh. I said, I see it. I'm just walking down the street, not praying out loud, praying on the inside of them. I said, I see it. I've got the same new birth they had then. Amen. I've been born of the Spirit. We keep the same Lord's Supper that they did, same communion table. We Baptists at least were the same water baptism. And I said, why not have the same Holy Ghost baptism? Well, I know what I'll do, I said. I'll just go down to the Pentecostal preacher's house right now and receive this experience. Because you see, I knew it was by faith. And so I went down there, and the first thing he said was, wait. they were in revival. He said, we're in revival. Why don't you wait and seek for it in the service tonight? I said, it won't take me long to receive. And I noticed the evangelist nudged the pastor with his elbow. And he said, well, come on in then. So I went in, knelt down by a large chair. And I don't know whether they tried to instruct me or not. But I started practicing that as a teenager. I just shutting out things. You could too if you'd do it. But you see, in my day then, after I was married and our children came on, we pastored a one-room church. We didn't have a study. And my study was in the house. And in the first church, when Ken came along, we had a little three-room parsonage. I don't mean three bedrooms. I mean three total rooms. That's all of it. Shotgun house. And so you got one bedroom, and you got one room, the living room, and I got a desk over in the country and over in the corner of it, and a bookcase above it, and then kitchen, you know, dining room, everything's all together in one room. Well, see, there isn't any place for anybody else. And then we only have heat in one room. And that's in this living room. And so everybody's in there. I'm sitting over in the corner. Well, you can turn the radio on. The kids are playing, hollering. And I just shut them out. I don't know anything's going on. Just concentrate on what I'm doing. It doesn't bother me that he's been, well, I can do that yet. You can have the TV on, the radio on. Kids are running and jumping and hollering. And I'll just sit down in my chair and open up my book, Bible, book, or whatever I got, and read it and not know anything's going on anywhere. And so I knelt down by a large chair in that Pentecostal parsonage in the living room. And I don't know whether they tried to instruct me or not. If they did, I just closed my ears. I just shut my eyes when I knelt down and lifted up both hands and said to the Lord, I've come down here to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to receive this experience. I know that by faith I was saved. By faith I was raised up from a deathbed. Now by faith I receive. Amen. So now then, I have received the Holy Ghost. And so I am now filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now then, I said, Lord, I expect to speak with tongues. Because they spoke with tongues here on the... See, you got to get filled first.
Yeah.
See, you receive the Holy Ghost first, and then you speak with tongues. You don't speak with tongues and then receive the Holy Ghost. That'd be sort of like a fellow, you know, if you had a pair of shoes with tongues, you're going to get the tongues first and then the shoes. No, you get the shoes and the tongues take care of themselves. Amen. I said, amen. I said, amen. And so I said, now I have the Holy Ghost and the tongues goes with us, so I expect to speak with tongues. Hallelujah. Now, I'll be honest with you, I never walked by feeling, but I never felt so dry in my life. Never felt so dull, so listless, but I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah, about a half a dozen times. And about that time, I know everybody's going to have your own experience, but about that time, it felt to me like somebody built a bonfire right in here. I mean, it just got hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And seemed like I could see like a fire, you know, and these flames are coming up and these strange words come. And it seemed like I knew what they'd sound like, so I just started speaking them out. And I spent an hour and a half talking in other tongues, sang three songs in other tongues. I could have quit any time I wanted to, but I didn't want to quit. I mean, it's too good. Amen. And so, praise God. Then I switched over. I got the left foot of fellowship among the Baptists, came over among the Pentecostals. Well, in those days, everybody tarried. They taught tarry, 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 tarry. Well, you don't come in, you know, as a 21-year-old boy. I'd been preaching since I was 17. But you don't come in and correct folks. If you got any sense, you don't. You can prove to people that you love them. You can do nearly anything you want to, and they'll follow you. So I'd just go ahead and invite people to come to the altar, and they'd tarry with them once in a while, in spite of it, not because of it, but in spite of it, get one of them filled with the Spirit. I never prayed with a person to be filled with the Holy Ghost because I knew you didn't have to do all of that. Amen. That's true. And I remember we was in a revival one night, and me and my wife, we got off to bed, you know, and I got to laughing. And she said, what's wrong with you? She thought I was crying. At first I said, no, I'm not crying, I'm laughing. Well, in the night, actually, she had dozed off and had awakened. She said, what are you laughing about? Well, I had to tell her. She'd think maybe I'm laughing at her. I said, I'm laughing at us. Now, not me, because I really didn't participate, but out there at church tonight. I said, now, for instance, the evangelist happened to that night preach on this experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you see, because he had been preaching on salvation, got a number of people saved, and now then, you see, they're seeking to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They're coming to the altar every night, seeking to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so then I said, you know, it is a custom in those days in Pentecostal circles that they'd have a testimony meeting, some form of it, every time they come to church, or else they thought they'd backslid. So we had a few testimonies. And the folks that testified, God's here. I'll tell you, the power of God's here. The Holy Ghost is here. One person said, I'll tell you, Holy Ghost, God's here. A fellow couldn't feel this, must be dead. And on and on we went. Then the preacher preached. And I said, he preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it's for you. And God's here. And the Holy Ghost is here. And we invite people to come to the altar. He did. And they came to the altar to seek this experience, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And just as soon as they got down there, everybody changed their mind. Said, no, he's not here. And started singing, come by here, Lord, come by here. And then they sung that for a while. It seemed like he didn't come by. So they started singing, oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. And I got to laughing about that. And I said, you know, we faked and fooled those people and got them into the altar. And then said, no, he's not here. We're going to have to pray him down. No, you look into the scripture. So I began to work on people's spirits. I began to teach them what the word said. And we never had anybody in our church without being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. They just received right away. And so I look into the Acts of the Apostles. Now, except the two initial outpourings of the Holy Ghost on the Jews in Acts 2 and on the Gentiles in Acts 10, they received right away. Hands were actually laid on them and they received. Now, over in Acts, the 10th chapter, the 44th through the 46th verse, you remember in the 10th chapter of Acts, Cornelius, a Jewish proselyte, had the vision. The angel appeared to him and told him to send to Joppa and inquire in the house of Simon the tanner for one Simon Peter, who when he has come will tell thee words whereby thy house shall be saved. And so Peter took with him, because he knew he was going to get in trouble with these Jewish brethren of the circumcision, he took with him six witnesses, and they went to Cornelius' house. And he said, the scripture said in Acts 10:44, while he yet spake unto them, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. For we heard them, they of the circumcision, heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They were astonished, because they heard them, the Gentile, speak with tongues and magnify God. But except those two spontaneous outpourings on the Jews in Acts 2 and the Gentiles in Acts 10. Now notice, in the 9th chapter of Acts, the word of God said, you know, about Saul of Tarsus and his experience. And there's a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, I'm here, Lord. He said, arise and go into the street called Straight and inquire in the house for Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hands on him, might receive his sight. Now skip down to 17th verse. And Ananias entered in and putting his hands on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus appeared to thee in the way, has sent me that thou might receive thy sight, and for me to tarry with you and wait with you to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and for me to pray with you that you might be filled with the Holy Ghost. No, and that you might receive. That you might receive. You see, what belongs to you is just a matter of receiving it. Can you understand that? Just a matter of receiving it. That you might receive the Holy Ghost. Now then, in the 8th chapter of Acts, beginning with the 5th verse, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. They gave heed unto him, both hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For many unclean spirits came out, cried with a loud voice. Many of the sick of the palsy were healed, many were lame was healed, and there's great joy in the city. Now when they believed the preaching of Philip concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus, they were baptized, that's in water, both men and women. Now when the apostles which abode in Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them, tarried with them, prayed with them that God would give them the Holy Ghost. No, notice what he said. Prayed with them that they might receive. 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 It's just up to us to receive what God's already given. Let me show you something about healing. God has met us on a lower level very often because we didn't know any better. In other words, that's just as far as we've developed spiritually. Like I said, when I was a little kid, I can't remember the first time. I just can't remember. First time I ever prayed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I prayed the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I prayed the Lord my soul to take. You ever pray that? I can't remember first time I prayed that. Just me, like I just can't remember. But I know way back there. See, I don't pray that way anymore. Do you? You pray that every night you lay down? No. Now see, that worked fine when you was a little kid back there, just a little toddler, you know. But you outgrew that. You know, spiritually speaking, the same thing. God met us and blessed us on a different level because we didn't know. But you know, God wants us to develop. Now, for instance, I want you to see something. For instance, when I was healed, I didn't see and know everything I know now about healing. I just had a little light. I describe it like this. Were you ever in your bedroom, you know, the light's off, it's dark, and in the hallway there's a light on. And so the light comes creeping in under the door or through the keyhole. And that's just about all. I don't think there's any light creeping into my bedroom, even under the door. Just a little bit of light through the keyhole. And I just simply saw, and you can be healed on that level. All I saw, I didn't know healing belonged to us. I didn't know. I'd never heard it. And I couldn't read very long in the Bible. You know, I'd go for weeks and couldn't even see enough to read. And then read 10 minutes and all I could see was black dots, a white page with black dots on it. And it took me months to cover a few chapters. I didn't know, and yet I'd read right by it because I'd covered Matthew and got over into Mark. I'd read the whole book of Matthew. But I didn't register on me. Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmities and bare sicknesses. I didn't know he took our infirmities and bare sicknesses. I never got over to Peter yet. So I didn't know 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes ye were healed. I didn't know that. But I saw Mark 11:24, when you pray, believe you receive and ye shall have. And so I was just healed on that basis of praying and believing and receiving and raised up from a deathbed. Amen? Oh, you're listening to me now. And so what we need to do is get people to receive what belongs to them. Through these years, after I saw this, I've had phenomenal success. People that have been praying for healing for years, good people, thoroughly saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, been praying. Everybody in the country, in the days of the Voice of Healing, over 100 ministers, healing ministers, most of them had laid hands on this person. Every outstanding healing minister, see? They're trying to be healed through prayer alone. Well, now that works for folks down there on that lower level sometimes. We're not belittle at all. But these people have had all these prayers through the years and no better. And I just simply got them to see that according to the Word of God, they're already healed. All they have to do is receive it. All they have to do is just count it done. Right in the face of contradictory circumstances and symptoms. Count it done. Now, I'll tell you how I found that out. You know, I don't know much of that. People think sometimes I know a lot. I don't know hardly anything. I feel sometimes like I'm about the most stupid person of the stupids. I'm number one on the list. Amen. I just know what the Holy Ghost taught me. Because you see, now I was healed and raised up from the bed of sickness. Raised up from a deathbed, I went out praying for people. God met us and healed people, got them healed right along. Then I finally found out about laying on a hand, started laying hands on them. I just pray without laying a hand. And then I read about anointing with oil, so I'd start anointing with oil. See, God meets you. And there's so many different methods and ways that you ought to be able to get in on one of them. There's so many doors to healing, you ought to find one to fit you. Amen. And so, in 1949, July the 10th of 1949, my wife and I and another pastor and his wife drove from North Texas to West Texas. A pastor's wife was bedfast with terminal cancer. Doctors couldn't understand why she hadn't already died. She's bedfast. She can't even get up and go to the bathroom. She's bedfast. But we went to pray, so we spent 2 days and two nights praying. We slept 4 hours out of 24 hours, ate one meal a day, just a little nourishment to keep us going, and all the rest of the time, we were around that bed praying. I guess we'd put in 2 days, would be 48 hours. We slept 8 hours, that'll leave you 40, took time to eat. I'm sure we spent 36 to 38 hours doing nothing but praying. And so the second night, I say night, actually this morning, it's 4 o'clock in the morning because we'd been praying. The pastor and I We just put a mattress down on the living room floor and lay down on it because they didn't have an extra bed. And our wives slept together in the bed in another bedroom. So when we lay down, I said to him, now this is July the 10th. And well, now then we're over to the 12th of July, 1949. And I said to him, you know, I've never prayed this long for anything without getting an answer. I may not always have the answer I want, but I got an answer. I heard from heaven. I never prayed for 2 days in my life. Now, don't you misunderstand me. There's some things that you seek God about and wait on God. You see, you're just waiting on God to build you up spiritually, you see. And that's a different thing. I'm talking about praying for something. You understand what I mean? Difference in that different kind of praying, see. I'm talking about praying. I never prayed this long for anything, you know, for the last 15 years. Never. I said, we're missing it. You see, folks ought to realize that, you know, you've been on one road for so long. I mean, for instance, if you was going from here, Tulsa over to Oklahoma City, and you've been on the road for several days and weeks and months and years and never got to Oklahoma City, it ought to dawn on you that you must be on the wrong road somewhere, because you can drive over there in a couple of hours by taking the turnpike and not exceed the speed limit. Amen. Well, I said, I've never prayed this long without getting an answer. We're missing it somewhere, and I'll tell you where it is. I believe it is. I really didn't know. But my spirit knows things that my head don't know. That's where we miss it. Instead of listening to our spirits, we got our head in their way, and our head's all educated at the expense of a spirit. And without realizing, I see later that I was really speaking out of my spirit. I said, you see, for 2 days and nights, we've been asking God to heal this woman. We've been working on the sending end, on the God end of the thing. I said, you know, there's nothing wrong in heaven, nothing wrong with the God end. It's down here on the receiving end. That's where we're missing it. And we were in a town about 15,000-16,000, just had one radio station there. Well, going up there, we listened to the car radios. I said, if your radio station, your radio in your car radio, wouldn't pick up this local station, you wouldn't phone up there and say, you better have your radio station fixed. My car radio won't get it. No, you'd take your car radio to where they repair radios and get them to work on the receiving set. See, that's where the problem is. It's on the receiving. There's nothing wrong with the sending in. Heaven don't ever change. God doesn't ever change. If there are problems, it's on this end down here. So I said, now then. Now, I said in the morning, but really it's the same morning because this is 4 o'clock in the morning. We're going to lay down and sleep about 4 hours. And we didn't even sleep 4 hours. And we didn't eat breakfast because at 8 o'clock that same morning, we are right back in that same room again. And I'd said to the pastor, this work on the receiving end here in the morning. Or this, I said in the morning, but read the same morning. So when we gathered around the bed, this pastor and I on one side and our two wives on the other side and her husband, the woman's husband, the local pastor of the church where we went, this pastor that we went with said, Brother Hagin, tell them what you told me last night before we slept. So I told him. When I said that, the woman on the bed, now listen to me carefully, because see, here's where folks fail to receive what God has for them. The woman on the bed began to cry. And she said, oh, it's me, Brother Hagin. I missed it in so many ways, fallen so far short, and sin. I said, oh, no, sister, that's not what I'm talking about. You're missing it. You're missing what I'm saying. Maybe you have fallen short. Maybe you have failed. Maybe you have sinned. But who are there of us that has not fallen short? Just step forward. We want to see you. We're going to start praying for liars. Who is it that hasn't missed it? And I said, I'm sure you have. Maybe even missed it in ways you don't know of. But you asked God to forgive you, didn't you? She said, oh, yes, yes. I said, well, he did, and he don't remember that you've ever done anything wrong. So now then, don't go to condemn yourself, because if you do, you'll get out of faith and not be able to receive anything. He's forgiven you. No, I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about the whole group. We're not making connection. let's, instead of saying, Oh God, heal this woman. God, heal this woman. Oh God, heal this woman. I said, let's say, God, where are we missing it? Because heaven don't ever change. You're not going to change. And you can't fail. God can't fail. Jesus can't fail. Say it out loud. Jesus,
Jesus
never fails.
Never fails.
Say it out loud. God
never fails.
Never fails. Say it out loud. Heaven,
heaven
never fails.
Never fails.
See if there's any failures on this end. We need to work on the receiving end. That's where the problems always are, down here. And so I said, let's just look to the Lord. Lord, where am I missing it? We failed to make our prayer connection. And I brought out about the radio, you know, tuning in. So we began to pray like that. Prayed with your understanding. I all of us lifted our voice and praying out loud. And I prayed with my understanding, said those same words, Lord, where did I miss it? Show me. And then I began to say, I prayed with my understanding as best I know how. I'm going to trust the Holy Ghost in me to help me. And so then I began to pray in other tongues. And everybody got over into tongues. Everybody in the room. Telephone rang and the pastor, the local pastor, had to leave because he got an emergency call, one of his members. And so my wife and I and the pastor, the four of us and the woman on the bed, all of us are praying out loud in other tongues. And something said to me, now I'll be honest, I didn't know it first. That's how I learned a lot of things I know. Some things at least I know, or partly know. Paul said we know in part, we prophesy in part. Something said to me, go stand at the foot of the bed. And I, in my mind, I, at the same time praying in tongues out loud, I said, well, now what in the world good would that do? Wouldn't that be, I mean, how could that heal this woman by go standing at the foot of the bed? Well, let me ask you a question. How in the world could a fellow get healed of leprosy by dipping in muddy Jordan? Sometimes God will have you to do things just to get your faith to work it, just to get you into obedience. So I went on praying, and again, something said to me, go stand at the foot of the bed. I said, well, I'm not going to do it. What good would that do? I mean, I'm kneeling up here by her head. I could just reach my hand out and lay on her forehead. What good would that do? Could that heal her, me standing at the foot of the bed? Well, no, but it could be a step in that direction. And so, again, something said to me, go stand at the foot of the bed. And so I thought, well, open my eyes this time and look. My wife and I and the pastor's wife are on the other side of the bed, eyes shut, woman on the bed's eyes shut, pastor kneeling by me's eyes shut, everybody praying out loud. And you can, a little old bedroom about 12 by 14, sheetrock walls. You shut your eyes and everybody's voices are bouncing off the wall. You couldn't locate a person in that room to save your life. But I kept my eyes open. You know, the Bible said to watch and pray. So I moved down and stood at the foot of the bed, standing there praying out loud. I had been kneeling right by the head of the woman's head, you know, right at the head of the bed. My wife was kneeling right across from me on the other side of the bed. So I'm standing there watching just to see if anything happened. Suddenly my wife stood up. She never did open her eyes. She came and stood right beside me. She didn't even know till later, till she opened her eyes, that she's standing beside me. Didn't even know I was there. And she's praying in other tongues. So when she came down there, I shut up. Didn't say anything, tongues, English, or anything. And she's praying in other tongues, and suddenly the prayer tongues stop. You got to realize that there are diverse kinds of tongues. And her tongue changed. And she spoke very authoritative. Didn't have any interpretation. I understood it just like she spoke in English. I understood every word she said, just like she's talking English to me. And what she said was, go stand at the head of the bed and say, come out, you spirit of unbelief and fear, in Jesus' name. And so I just went up the head of the bed and said, come out, you spirit of unbelief and fear, in the name of Jesus. Now you see, this cancer with this woman started in her left breast, and then it had spread all up under her arm, you know, and then all over her body virtually. Now when I said that, I'm standing there with my eyes open. You can believe it or not believe it, that's your problem, not mine. When I said that, when I said that. I saw something that looked like a black bat as big as my hand rose up from her left breast and then flew right by me, between me and this other. Now this other preacher, pastor, he had got up and stood up. He didn't see anything, but he said to me, "Something went right by me." Yeah, I said, "I know it." And she rose up immediately, praising God, and then afternoon went out in the backyard and sat down with us and had watermelon. Bedfast for nearly 2 years. Never set a foot on the floor. And there she is out there in the backyard eating watermelon with us. And that pastor told me, said, because she got up out of bed, went through the room, went throughout the house, lifting her hands, praising God, and a shouting and worshiping the Lord, and hadn't set a foot on the floor for all of those many, many months. And so some of us, my wife and I, the two women, and I followed along, and that pastor I went with, he stayed there. And he told me, said, I stood right by that window and said, whatever that was, see, the devil has more to do with sickness sometimes than we want to admit. And whatever that was, he said, that went out there and came right back up to that window. I never did tell him I saw anything. I just said, yeah. He said, something went right by me. I said, yeah, right between us. I said, yeah. Flew right out there like a bird of flying. I said, yeah. I never did tell him. He don't know to this day that I saw anything. And so he told me, he said, I never did see anything, but he said, I stand in that window and whatever that was, come right back up to that window. And tried to come back in. I said, no, you don't. You don't come in here. You'll have to go somewhere else. And I go in Jesus' name. And the thing left. The thing left. Amen. Now, the point I wanted you to get, and I thought you'd be interested in some of the details that'd help us too. But the point I want you to get is this. That for 48 hours, 2 days and nights, we had worked on the sending in. You know, that's what most people do when it comes to healing or anything else that already belongs to you. They work on the sending in. The God end of it. Are you following me? But the moment that we started working on the receiving end, I mean, we got results in just a little bit. Because you really don't have to pray for what already belongs to you. All you have to do is acknowledge it's yours and receive it. Say, that's mine. Glory to God. You can take your healing right now. Thank God for laying on hand. Don't misunderstand me at all about that. And if you're at that level and need hand laid on you, we're here to lay hands on you. Thank God for anointing of oil. Thank God for that. And if you're at that level, we're ready to anoint you with oil. Praise God. And pray one for another. But I'll tell you this, move on up with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Know what belongs to us and receive it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Receive it. Now, back to where, well, you remember where I was when I got off back on that? Remember the 8th chapter of Acts? Then Philip went down to the city, Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. They gave heed unto him, both seeing and hearing the miracles which he did, for many unclean spirits came out crying with a loud voice. Many sick as the palsy were healed, many as lame as healed. It was great joy in the city when they believed the preaching of Philip concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Baptized both men and women. When the apostles had abode in Jerusalem, heard the Samaritan receive the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who had never come down, prayed for them. Remember, we got down to there. Remember that? That they might what? God would give them the Holy Ghost. They worked on the sending. And no, prayed for them that they might receive. Prayed for them that they might receive. They worked on the receiving end. They worked on the receiving end. Anything that the Bible said is yours through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ belongs to you. Amen. Belongs to you. I said it belongs to you. I said it belongs to you. It's yours. It's just a matter of you receiving. The name of Jesus belongs to you. Glory to God. You don't have to pray God give you the name of Jesus. He's already given you that name. Pick it up. Take it. Start using it. God is our Father. Jesus is our Lord. He is our advocate. He is our master. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. We don't have to pray that it be our teacher. All we got to do is thank God because He is our teacher. Healing is absolutely ours. Strength is ours. Light and wisdom are ours. If everlasting life belongs to us, hallelujah, eternal life is ours. We have it now. He is our supply. He is our sufficiency. He is love in us, for God is love and He's in us. Hallelujah. All this is ours. Think about that. Dear Lord, what else would you need? All this is ours the moment that we believe. And did you ever stop thinking about, here's what defeats people? I said, well, I know it could be mine if I had enough faith. No. It's not dependent upon our individual, these things are not, are not dependent upon our individual faith as a believer. See, there you are again. I said, there you are again, trying to do something yourself to make it happen. God's already made it happen. It'll become real in your life when you accept it. Receive. 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 All is in redemption. All that is in redemption, in whom we have redemption through his blood. All that in that plan of redemption he secured to us and bought for us. All we need to do is just thank God our Father. Remember, go back there to Colossians, giving thanks unto the Father. Thank God our Father. Praise him whenever the need confronts us, because it's covered by redemption. It's covered by redemption. It's covered by redemption. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. I said it's yours. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, now some people said, what can we pray for? Well, you can spend your time praying for others because you don't need to pray for yourself. It's been so long I prayed for me and I can't even remember the last time I ever prayed for me. I never pray, God bless me. I say, thank God I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I never pray, God bless me. I pray, God make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. So many times people spend all the time praying for themselves and about their needs. Just go ahead and appropriate what belongs to you through Christ. Amen? Well, what can we pray for? We can pray for the great needy world. Amen. He said, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. We can pray for Christians who live in darkness, who live beneath their privileges. And two good prayers to pray for them is Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. There are two prayers there. Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. He prayed that the Lord would open their eyes, the eyes of their understanding. You're talking about their spiritual eyes, that they may see and know the things that are freely given them of God. See, I remember a certain person, a relative of mine, that needed healing. And I began to talk to him about that. Well, they just couldn't see what I was saying. And so I remember I went away from him. Naturally, I didn't get him healed. And so I went away to holding a meeting. And every day, every single day, every single day, I had an appointed time. Every afternoon, I'd lie down and rest. And before I'd lie down and rest, get ready for my night service. I had a day teaching service at 10 o'clock. I'd open my Bible to Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. I'd say, Lord, I'm praying this prayer, and I'd call their name. I'd call their name. I'm praying this prayer for them. And everywhere Paul said, I pray for you that the eyes of your understanding, I'd put their name in there. I pray, we'll just say Mary. I pray for Mary that the eyes of Mary understanding will be enlightened. They'll see these things, you know, whatever, what I don't read. And I prayed that way for them 10 days. Every single day I'd do it. They wrote me a letter at the end of the 10th day and said, you know, I'm beginning to see things I never saw before. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we can pray for those dear Christians who live in darkness. You know, we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. But you know, there's some Christians that don't know that. And they're still living in darkness. But thank God, I'm living in the light. You should be too. See, beneath their privilege. We can pray for deliverance for men and women from bondage for which they do not know they've been set free. They don't know they've been set free, so they're still in bondage. But thank God we can pray for them. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.